There's actually quite a few minhagim / mitzvot associated with Erev Yom Kippur, but certainly the favorite mitzvah of all of us is the mitzvah to eat on Yom Kippur. Yes, it's rare that on a non-Yom Kippur day we would have such a mitzvah, but none of us are asking too many questions. Hopefully nothing we do in all of our analysis today won't change the ultimate fact that it is a mitzvah to eat. So our stories about various gedolim, they say that the Brisker Rav, for example, had a candy in his mouth the whole day. Time permitting, the last group of sources that we'll see, actually we'll discuss whether that actually is a kiyum of the mitzvah. Some say you might need to do more. But be that as it may, there is a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur, and I would like to discuss with you the nature of that mitzvah. And I hope we'll see there are quite a few different understandings of this mitzvah in the Rishonim. Although I hope to show that even though there's, you could argue, perhaps 6 different approaches in the Rishonim, but fundamentally they really fall into 2 camps. There's a 1A, B, and C, and a 2A, B, and C. And that argument, I hope, will be something that we can appreciate both in terms of the various shitas, but then once we understand the 2 basic schools of thought, hopefully we'll appreciate a number of nafkaminos. So, as I mentioned, there are source sheets coming in, but I don't want to wait any longer, so let's get right into the shir, and hopefully when the sheets come, if we could just pass them out as quietly as possible, so we'll be able to have the shir without interrupting. So the pasuk, Vayikra, as it's discussing the mitzvah of Yom Kippur, mentioned, when it talks about the inisem, the idea of afflicting ourselves, which is the fasting we're going to do, and the other things which we won't benefit from on Yom Kippur, but the lashon of the pasuk is the inisem, there's a lashon there which describes the fasting not on the 10th of Tishrei, which of course is the date of Yom Kippur, but specifically mentions the 9th of Yom Kippur. And as a result of this, there's a Gemara. It appears in more than one place in Shach, but if we want to pick the most local place, so we'll quote from Masechet Yoma on Daf Pei Aleph on the Bet, where the Gemara there darshins what's going on. Do we fast on the 9th? No, of course we don't fast on the 9th. We fast on the 10th. But if we fast on the 10th, so why does it say the 9th? And the way the Gemara resolves the Lashon, the Gemara says, well, it's coming to teach us that there's a mitzvah to eat on the 9th. And better than that, kala ocha b'chi'i, anyone who fulfills that mitzvah and actually eats on the 9th, it's as if he fasted on the 9th and the 10th. It's a tremendous... It's not enough there's a mitzvah to eat on the 9th, which is great anyway, but in fact we get even bonus points. It's kilu that we fasted on the 9th and the 10th. Thank you very much. So, this short teacher will be, I guess, coming along. But that's the basic source of the Gemara. The Gemara, again, the Pasuk in Vayikra, Parak of Gimel, and the Gemara in a number of places, most notably on Yuma. Again, the punchline being, Kol Ochol B'Shosa B'Chi, Mala B'Pasuk Kilu, Isna Ana B'Chi V'Asiri. So it's as if you fasted on the 9th and the 10th. Now, before we get into the lumbus of this question, there's a more basic issue just to mention. I don't want to see it inside. We'll see when we get to number 2, section 2 of the sources, we'll start seeing some of the Lashonos of the Rishonim inside. But just to mention outside, that there seems to be an interesting machlokas between the Rambam and the Kesef Mishnah. We may come back to this machlokas. I want to mention, it seems machlokas in the Rambam and the Kesef Mishnah about the source of this mitzvah. What do you mean the source? The Gemara just said, it's the pasuk of... The question is, as you know, whenever we have a drusha, especially when it's a kind of a funny drusha like this, the question is whether it's a bona fide drusha, which would make this a dinda oraisa, or is it just an asmachta and it's only a dinda rabbanan? It's actually an incredible thing to consider, the fact that there might be a mitzvah de oraisa to eat, right? With the only times of mitzvah de oraisa to eat, you know, are very special days. It's really an amazing possibility to consider. And yet, as the Kesef Mishnah points out, even though he doesn't agree, but the Rambam seems to almost exclusively say this. The Kesef Mishnah takes that 10% of almost, and since he's so unhappy with it, he pushes his way through the door, and the Kesef Mishnah denies it. But the Kesef Mishnah points out, and I think his Hafnin is better than his Maskana, that it seems clear from the first glance, the reading of the Rambam is that the Rambam assumes that it's a Oraisa. The context of the Rambam is actually a far field. The Rambam probably, if you take a neder to fast, I'm going to fast on every Monday. Now what happens if you didn't check the calendar, and it turns out that Monday is Rosh Chodesh, Monday is Hanukkah, Monday is Erev Yom Kippur. And the Rambam makes again, it's not the Rambam's own sheet, but the Rambam quotes a very surprising or a little bit counterintuitive chiluk. The Rambam says, if the day that you're gonna, that the fast comes out is a day in which you have to eat midoraisa, then the neder is chal. But if it was only a derabbanan, like Hanukkah or Purim, derabbanans need chizuk. Derabbanans, ironically, are going to be treated a little bit more severely because they're inherently weaker, therefore we need to prop them up. And if it would fall out on a fast day, on a derabbanan, then that would beat the fast day. What's important for us is that when the Rambam gives examples of, well, if your fast comes out on a day where there's a mitzvah d'oraisa to eat, the Rambam gives a number of examples, including Erev Yom Kippur. In other words, it would come out that if you took a fast, took a neder not to eat on a certain day, and that day was Erev Yom Kippur, comes out according to the Rambam, that in fact your fast, the neder would be chal, and you'd have to fast, you could eat. The Kesef Mishnah just can't believe it. And even though he has to, the Rambam does make that point about fasting Erev Yom Kippur in such a circumstance, but the implication that the Rambam holds is d'oraisa, so that the Kesef Mishnah denies. But certainly the simple understanding is that the Machlokes guesses in the Rambam and the Kesef Mishnah, because the Rambam certainly seems to say that. So that's just a P.S. kind of put in the back of your mind, which is that the rest of the shir, are we discussing the mitzvah of the Rabban or the d'oraisa, that's actually not 100% clear. Pashuk Pshat in the Rambam is that he holds the d'oraisa, but the Kesef Mishnah himself clearly and unequivocally denies that, whether he's right about the Rambam or not, is notwithstanding, but he himself certainly is clear that he thinks it's only a din d'rabbanan. But Yehei Mashi Yehei, whether we're dealing with a din d'rabbanan or a din d'oraisa, the question is, why should there be such a mitzvah? What is the Geder HaDin? What is the purpose of eating on Erev Yom Kippur? And therefore, hopefully help explain a number of machlokesim that follow. So as I mentioned at the outset, there are a number of shitos in the Rishonim, because it's not such an intriguing, surprising almost kind of mitzvah, so all the Rishonim want to get, you know, weigh in. And I didn't even give you all the Rishonim. For example, we're going to see Rashi in a moment. Some Achronim point out that this Rashi might be closer to a different Rashi, and I didn't even get into the complicated stuff, just the straightforward stuff. You have about four or five of positions in Rishonim, and we're even going to share one more recent approach. So basically, I think that this, all of these six shitas fall into two categories. And before I even mention them, who anyone want to suggest, we have a mitzvah like this, and again, especially when you consider the Lashon of the Gemara. Broadly speaking, what type, how would you understand, and I'll give you a little bit of a clue, I'll help you out halfway, what would be the relationship between eating on the 9th of Tishrei and fasting on the 10th? What do you think? What might be, that's a clue to the question that I'm really asking, which is, what is the purpose of, or what would be the overall purpose of eating on the 9th? Yes?
The most important thing is for the fast. So essentially, for the fast,
very good. So this is, broadly speaking, one, and I would say it's the most simple pasuk shot approach, which is that on some level, eating, again, this would be more surprising with d'oraisa, but nevertheless, on some level, the eating is a kind of a hachana, or a preparation to enable us to fast. Very good. Most Rishonim are going to agree with you. Although we'll see that within this category, I hope to show you, three different possibilities. But broadly speaking, that's going to be one school of thought. The opposite approach, just very simply, is going to be to say no. Perhaps, despite the fact that it looks like there's this relationship, and obviously it's not a coincidence that there's a mitzvah to eat on the 9th of Tishrei and not on the 9th of Cheshvan, the pasuk makes it clear there's a relationship, but nevertheless it could be that despite that context, perhaps that the getter of the din of eating on the chi on the 9th is an independent din, and it's not going to be tethered, it's not going to be tied one way or the other to the fact that we have to fast on the 10th. So now that we have the kind of broad categories, let me try to plug in for you different approaches within each category, and then hopefully with time permitting we'll then see some nafkaminas. So the first approach, the one that's the most obvious, the one that you already suspected, which is in a number of Rishonim, I gave you just two examples, although there's more than the two, right here at source number two, Rashi on the Gemara that we just saw, the Rashi in Yoma, Rashi says, Kolomar, what's the purpose of this mitzvah? Hatkin atzmecha b'tisha shetucha l'sanos ba'asara. It can't be more direct than that, exactly what you said. But the purpose of eating on Erev Yom Kippur is kedei, so that you'll be able to fast on Yom Kippur. The Rosh, and his psukim here on the Gemara as well, says the same thing. Hechinu atmechem, uses the Lashon of Ahachana. It's a preparation, b'tisha l'chodesh, l'hizchazek b'achilu v'shtia, v'shetuklu l'hathanos l'machar. What's striking is that there's another approach, which even though it accepts your point that there's a relationship and a preparation, that says the exact opposite of Rashi, the exact opposite of the of the Rosh. And that is a Deya quoted by the Shiboli Halakhet, which is also accepted and amplified by the Aruch HaShulchan. And that is that they say, in a Hanami, we're eating on the ninth as a preparation for the fast. But not like Rashi implied or the Rosh said explicitly that we want to be able to make ourselves stronger so we can better or more easier take the fast. They say just the opposite. That somehow, when we can talk with the doctors exactly see how this, why this should be the case, that by eating on Erev, if you overeat, so to speak, on the cheese, it'll make that contrast, going from all day eating to all day fasting, that contrast, it'll actually make the fast harder for you. Take a look at the Shiboli Halakhet. U'b'yom HaKippurim Mis'aneh Kasha Lo Inu Yoser. It'll be harder, the withdrawal, right? If you get used to something, the withdrawal from it can be more difficult. Or take a look, the Aruch HaShulchan tries to say something a little bit similar, he tries to make it a little more even sophisticated. He says, on the one hand, mihu hakocho sachazakim yoter lispal pinus kishokol mikodem. On the one hand, you'll have more energy to withstand the rigors of the fast if you eat. And yet, ella tzaro merubo mehipuk hapitomi. A little bit of a modern Hebrew there, word going on in Nevardic. He says the sudden withdrawal, having spent the whole day eating in that last few hours before the fast starts, you know, the pseudo gouging yourself, so then that sudden contrast, all of a sudden now you're in complete withdrawal. You didn't slowly, you know, go from, no, you went from 60 to 0 in 1 second flat. That itself is more difficult. So I just want to share with you, I think it's just a fascinating shot. Now, given my druthers, I would still rather eat all day on the ninth. You know, I'm going to go with the Rashi Rush approach on a personal level. But each man can paskin for himself. If you think it's going to make your fast harder, maybe you want to eat a little bit less. I'll leave that up to you. But what I want to point out to you, this is important, because not only for this sugya, but it's important as you're growing and you're learning to appreciate methodologically that something that looks the opposite, which obviously on some level there's a Matthias argument, or maybe it's more than a Matthias argument, there's an argument going on. But on a deeper level, fundamentally, when we mentioned before the basic two approaches, the basic hakira, is the purpose of eating on the ninth day is somehow part of the relationship of hachana for Yom Kippur, or is it an independent mitzvah? On that basic, that's the most deep question we can ask, on that question, the Shmuel Halakhet and the Aruch HaShulchan completely agree with Rashi. They agree with the Rosh. Yes, the purpose of eating on the ninth is a hachana for the tenth. It's just that you thought it was going to make it easier for you. We're there to make it worse. We're masochists. We're going to make it worse and harder for you. That's an important detail, but it's a detail. On the broader point, they agree that it's about this relationship, the yachas, the hachana, from the ninth to the tenth. Along the shavurgeon of all this, both of these are very practical, very gastronomical. It's going to be easier, it's going to be harder. It's all about the stomach. So take a brisker to look at a yummy meal and a yummy sugya. So it's got nothing to do with food. It's a din. What do I mean by that in all seriousness? The Rav or Soloveitchik is quoted in the Masorah Journal. We take a look at the second to last source on the sheet. The Rav is quoted saying something very fascinating, really, in all seriousness, a very beautiful idea. He says as follows. He says, remember, and this is part of a larger point, which is not our topic, the mitzvah is not on Yom Kippur to not eat. The mitzvah is to have an inui, which is an affliction. Now, he's not focusing on that, although other achronim and the other sugyas that speak about it being as a mitzvah say. But the way the Rav formulates it in this, the way it's presented here, he says it's not just that we don't eat. It's not like a coincidence we didn't eat. We have to have a shvisa from achila. We actively stop eating. Now, what does that mean to actively stop something? Usually active means you do something. Here we're not eating. He says, in order to make it clear, it's just not a coincidence. You're like, oh, I ate so much, I was so stuffed. You know, because I ate so much on Erev Yom Kippur, just the next day, intensive. She said, I happen to not eat because I'm so full, I'm so nauseous from all the food I ate yesterday. Even though obviously it's a little bit implausible, especially when you're like dying at like 4 in the afternoon. But the point is, that since the Rav, especially even from the beginning of the day, we want it to be clear that it's not just a coincidence that I'm going to diet and the South Beach diet says that on the 10th of every month you don't eat. It can't be a coincidence. Rather, says the Rav, you need a shvisa hanikera. It has to be clear that the reason we're not eating today is a halachic not eating, not because I happen to be on a diet anyway. And therefore, he says, just we'll read the one line that I have it underlined here, in Ein Ochel Erev Yom Kippur, Ein Kan Shvisa HaNikeret. If I wouldn't be eating on Erev Yom Kippur, then I would be it wouldn't be obvious, it wouldn't be demonstrative that my non-eating on Yom Kippur was a halachic one. Rather, v'achila b'erev Yom Kippur, he makes kiyume hatainis. V'chelek mimaita ha-shvisa me'achila. Right. Fascinating idea. Fascinating. We didn't have so much other things that are great also I want to share with you. I want to spend more time even digesting. No pun intended. Digesting this point. But he says, therefore, because I need to be eating on Erev Yom Kippur, so that when I stop eating on Yom Kippur, that has a kiyum of being a stopping of eating. If I just was happen to not be eating anyway, because, you know, fast starts on 8, well, you know, usually I never had a big lunch, so I might not have eaten anything. Maybe I eat a late dinner anyway. You know, my dad doesn't get home from the train till 9 o'clock at night. So, you know, that's why I didn't eat yet. No, no, there has to be an active and clear, demonstrative, I guess is the best word, shvisa hanikeres. Completely different. New idea than anything we've seen until now. And yet, it's fundamentally in agreement. In the sense, again, I'm not... It's a beautiful independent idea, but in the broader picture, I think it has a certain commonality even with Rashi and Shmuel Lekit. Namely, what was the lashon? It's mikiyume hatainis. It's not an independent mitzvah to eat. It's subservient to. What's the big picture here? The big picture here is only one. It's not two messages. It's not two important days. There's only one. That's Yom Kippur, and that's the fasting. It's just that in order to have a fasting, have a fulfill a kiyum b'shleimusa, it has to be preceded by eating, not because we want to be stronger, not because we want to be more painful, because halachically, in the halachic universe, that creates an added heightened kiyum. Everyone with me so far? Trying to keep a little bit of pace, hopefully we can cover more of the source sheet than we did last week. Okay, the fundamentally different approaches, but all basically in agreement on some level at least, that the purpose of eating on Erev Yom Kippur is for, either to help, hinder, or I don't know, something, for the fast itself. In contrast to everything we've seen until now, are a number of formulations in the Rishonim. Again, it's more of a minority opinion, but I think that are certainly worth highlighting, and they certainly exist. For example, the Shibboleth Halakhit, going back to that source, the Shibboleth Halakhit above, he has two reasons. The first one is the one we saw until now. But if you look at the second reason, it says the Shibboleth Halakhit, the Hosim Yilibon Shokidukin, Shemitzanin Dambachi. We mentioned at the beginning of the Shia that the Pasuk is very weird. It mentions the Initem B'chi'i, fasting on the ninth. Well, we don't fast on the ninth. So Shmuel Elekid said, and again, I don't know independently what Sadukim or Karayim do nowadays, to find out, there's still a few of them, but apparently some of them were fasting even on the ninth, because that's what it seems to say in Pakistan Pasuk. And we have numerous examples in Chazal where we do something, B'davka, to make it clear that we're rejecting their very literal approach of Torah Shabbat Sab. So the Shmuel Elekid says, therefore we go out of our way. We daft eat on the ninth to show that their reading of Initem B'chi is a mistake. Or, that's 2A. What's 2B? Take a look at Rabbeinu Yonah on the bottom of the page. Rabbeinu Yonah in his famous Sha'arei Tshuva, which is primarily a Musar / Machshava Sefer, but there are a few golden halachic nuggets that are in the Sefer. That's your reward for learning a whole Musar Sefer. You get a few halachic nuggets. And the Rabbeinu Yonah at the bottom says the following. He gives three reasons. His third reason is the same one we saw from Rashi and the Rosh, and there's a ritual which I didn't tell you about. That it's all to help the fast go easier. If you don't eat and rest up on the ninth, you'll have no strength for the tenth. That's the Rabbeinu Yonah's third approach. That one is not new to us. But he has two approaches which are very similar but a little different from each other before then. The first one he says is, number one, that by eating koakoveya suda, kihera simchoso, kihigia zman kaparoso. There's a simchas yantip of Yom Kippur. Kapara is coming. There's a lot of anxiety, a lot of fear associated with Yom Kippur. It's a very serious day. It's not a flippant, glib, jovial day. But ultimately, it's a very happy day. Rav used to say in the name of Rav Chaim that the happiest day of the year, the happiest moment of the year, the sunset on Musa Yom Kippur. Not because he could eat, but because that's when Kapara was. The Jewish people had Kapara then. So we're happy. So on the one hand, there's a tremendous happiness because of the Kapara on Yom Kippur. On the other hand, Jews, as we know, and this is not just a capital cliche, halachically, how do we express simcha? Through eating. There's just one problem. We can't celebrate the simcha of the Kapara of Yom Kippur by eating, because it happens to be also to eat on Yom Kippur. And therefore, as a way of we push up the simcha of being forgiven and eat on Erev Yom Kippur, which is an anticipatory celebration of the Kapara we're going to get with Yom Kippur. What's interesting, it's not exactly the same thing, but it's very similar. The second reason Rabbi Yonah gives, take a look at the next line, where I have it underlined. Nebuch, again, coincidentally, so to speak, because it's usher to eat on Yom Kippur, there's a fast day. Here, if I understand him correctly, he's saying something slightly different. It's not that there's a unique simcha because of kapara. Yom Kippur is the Yom Kippur. All Yom Kippur have simchas Yom Kippur. It's in the Parshas HaMoadim. It's considered a moed. Even Hallel in theory should have been said, except for there's a technicality why we don't say it. So therefore, like all Yom Kippur, it should have a mitzvah Sudas Yom Kippur. Because they have a problem. Because Yom Kippur also happens to be a fast day. So in order to fulfill the mitzvah of simchas Yom Kippur, of Sudas Yom Kippur, we eat that on Erev Yom Kippur. So it's not identical, obviously, if Rabbi Yonah wanted to give us two reasons, there must be a slight difference. So the way I understand the difference between, even though they're very similar, the way I understand it, is that the first reason Rabbi Yonah is a unique Yom Kippur Simcha, instead of Kapara. The second one is a more generic Simcha Yantif. But the common thread between both of these approaches is that we have to eat because we're happy about something, whether it's generally or because of Kapara, and just we can't. Nebuch, we're caught between a rock and a hard place. We can't. On Yom Kippur, therefore we eat, we're knocked in the mitzvah of eating to Erev Yom Kippur. Now again, we saw two similar but different approaches of Rabbi Yonah, preceded by a third approach in Shmuel Aleket about the Tzedukim or something, which is really, he's the only one who says that, so that's much more of an esoteric reference. But, what do all three of these have in common? All three of these are not about, they're not about do this so that you can fast better. Do this so that your fast is harder. Do this so that it'll be recognizable while you're fasting. It has nothing to do with your fasting. Adarabba, there's an independent kiyum. Either the independent kiyum is lahotzi milibo shatadukim, or the independent kiyum is to celebrate kapara, or the independent kiyum is to celebrate yantif to the yantif. But either way, that mitzvah has nothing to do with the fast day. Adarabba, just the opposite. The fast day gets in the way. Really, we should be eating on Yom Kippur. According to all the approaches we saw previously, from Rashi and the Rush and the Salvechik, there's no reason to eat beforehand. The whole purpose is to eating before, excuse me, there would be no purpose to eat on Yom Kippur. The whole purpose is to eat beforehand, to make it easier, to make it harder, etc. But according to the two reasons that are Rabbeinu Yonah, and even in some level, certainly at least the two reasons that are Rabbeinu Yonah, I would say, in theory, we really would be better to eat on Yom Kippur. Since we can't, we don't have Yom Kippur. But the upshot is, clearly the motivation, the reason, the kiyum of eating, is not to help the fast in any way, but rather there's an independent kiyum to eat, which happens to fall out, because of circumstances, on the ninth. So despite the fact we saw three different variations of the first approach, and now we're seeing more or less two or three approaches, variations of the second approach, nevertheless, I would suggest that broadly speaking, we have two different approaches. One is whether the purpose of eating is a hachana for the fast day, fill in the blank, how we're helping, how we're preparing, or is there an independent kiyum which happens to, or by force of circumstances, comes out Erev Yom Kippur, but independently, there's a reason to do it in and of itself. Everyone with me, because I'm going to try to go through, time permitting, we have 10 minutes, I'm going to try to go through five nafkaminas. But you have, and even if you don't have all the details, there will be a few chalukim and nuances which we'll try to throw in, but broadly speaking, what you have to know before we go to the next stage of the shir is this basic hakira and the various rishonim that basically, each one takes up the approach. Is it an independent halacha, or is it a hechsher or a hachana for Yom Kippur? You have been wanting that question for a while. Or you're just really tired and stretching a lot. Yeah, you're just stretching. I'm happy to keep you up. Okay. Anyone with a question? Even if you're not tired. Okay, yes. You look old to be a Shanalef guy. Everyone, welcome. This is what you could all aspire to be. Naum Eisenberg, the chashuv guy. Married with kids. And he lives nearby, and he has a free time, and he's coming to learn Torah with you guys. I hope you all be very welcoming to him. Yes. Sorry, yes, okay. Yeah. And he wants you all to come for Shabbos and go to the inn on an off Shabbos. I guess, did he discuss there whether it's the payat of Machayev eating? Did he say it's Machayev eating? Yeah, I don't know. Good question, I have to think about it. I mean, you say, exactly, it works both for Ben Yonah. Okay, I have to think about it, I'm not sure. It could be that we could resolve it, and it could be that this is one of those famous examples where, depending on when you caught the rough, you had different approaches to things. No, well, that's, again, that's somebody writing in the Missouri Journal. I don't know. That's a separate question of what he actually said.
Very
confused. Okay. That could be. I have to think about that. It's a good horror. Okay, let's turn the page, and let's see the Nafkaminas. Nafkamina number one. Everyone, this is what I call a theoretical nafkamina. I'll introduce you to one of my favorite terms. I'm sure we'll come across it a number of times this year. Usually nafkamina means a practical difference. Like one says usher, one says mutter, oh, it's a nafkamina. But sometimes you have a situation in which everyone agrees what the halacha is. But that could still be important, because that's what I call a theoretical nafkamina. Because you have two people who agree with the halacha, but they give very different reasons for reaching the same conclusion. And even though they reached the same conclusion, but the fact that they gave different reasons might also be important. So here also is an example. There's no one that I know anywhere who holds, as much as they love this mitzvah, that we make a bracha on it. Nobody, as far as I know. So that's not going to be an nafkamina, bracha or not. It's no bracha. The question is, well, what makes more or less sense? Why should there not be a bracha? So you can speculate all sorts of things, but just to mention briefly, is that the Netziv, in his commentary called the Hamek Shela, which is a commentary he wrote to the Shiltos of Rav Chai Gaon, so the Netziv and the Hamek Shela, he mentions, if you take a look at the last line, he says in this short piece that I have for you, he has three nafkaminas. But if you look at the last one, the bottom of the source, the last underlined section of the Shiltos, excuse me, of the Hamek Shela, we'll get back to the Shiltos in a moment, he says, Ulefize miyusha v'pshitos hosh ein mevarchim. Now we understand why we don't make a bracha. Why? She'ein el achana, the mitzvah, ein mevarchim el al gufa mitzvah. Even though it's a mitzvah, maybe the Rabbanan, maybe, even maybe, the Arise of the Rambam, nevertheless, given the fact that it's not the Gemara mitzvah, it's not the Gufa mitzvah, it's not the point, it's a hachana for a mitzvah, so we have a klal that we never make brachos and hachanos / hechsher. Now, even though this might be a super special one, says in the Siv, this fits into that broader pattern, that there really, really, really is no reason to make a bracha. Why? Because, after all, it's merely a hachana. Now, that doesn't mean that people who hold that it's an independent mitzvah would say there is a bracha. As I mentioned, everyone holds there's no bracha. But they would obviously have to give a different reason. And there's all sorts of other reasons one could imagine why there isn't a bracha on this mitzvah. But either way, the point is that at least in the Tziv, I'm not saying other people disagree with him, and the Tziv is the only one that I know who explicitly, the Farish, connects the shaila of bracha to the question of what's the getter of the din. So that's number one. Very quickly, boom. Why is there no bracha? The Tziv says it's connected. Number two, is a very common shaila. This comes up countless times every year. Any rav could be related to the shaila. You have countless people in any community who unfortunately are sick and not going to be able to fast. Do those people have a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur? Now, everyone's so preoccupied for obvious reasons that the stakes are obviously higher, eating on Yom Kippur is a current shaila, but with whether they have to fast or not on Erev Yom Kippur, on Yom Kippur, the shaila is, if you get to a person who's never, that means he must be very sick, that they're puzzled from eating, from fasting on Yom Kippur, does that in any way impact whether they have to eat on Erev Yom Kippur? What do you think? Why? Who cares whether you're fasting or not? And if it's a hachana, right? Whether it's a hachana to make it easier, whether it's a hachana to make it harder, or look for shisa and ikeres, what's the difference? But if there's not going to be a shisa, there's not going to be a fasting, the whole purpose of eating, so in fact, and the Siv says this as well, and others agree with him, he says, he's medayik in the lashon of the Shiltos. The Shiltos is from the Gaonim, Rav Chai Gaon, and the Shiltos, when he quotes the Gemara, he adds something. The lashon of the Shiltos, which is a little bit different than the Gemara, is kala ochel v'shosa b'tisha u'misana ba'asiri. Like we said that the Gemara has a bonus. If you eat on the ninth, if this you fast on the ninth and the tenth. When the Shiltos quotes it, he adds, anyone who eats on the ninth and fasts on the tenth, it's as if he did a great thing. So the Tzimis Medayik, that the Shiltos also agrees with Rashi. The whole purpose is a hachana to help you fast. You should be strong, eat a lot on the ninth. You'll be strong, you can withstand the rigors of the fast on the tenth. And therefore, it says in the Tziv, someone who is someone who's not going to be able to eat because they're sick, then there's no reason for them to at all to have the mitzvah of eating beforehand. The Ksav Sofer, the son of the Chassam Sofer, and the Shuvah, which I have for you here, the Ksav Sofer also agrees. Now the Stei Chemed, which is an encyclopedia written, both of the author's own writings, as well as a lot of letters back and forth he had with other Talmidei Chachamim. When you go on your inevitable Shalvim Chevron trip, whether it's Shabbat Chevron or some other time, if you get your tour of Chevron, you'll see that Rav Chaim Chizkio Medini, he made Aliyah to Chevron. That's where he finished writing and publishing the Stei Chemed. There's a whole picture in the tour about the Stei Chemed in Chevron. When you go there, encyclopedic work. So he says, even if you're not going to fast on the 10th, you should still eat on the 9th. Why? He says, well, maybe you'll have a refush later. Maybe it will finally work. And maybe you'll end up fasting, and there was no point. Then you didn't eat on the 9th. And then he has other possibilities, but even he says, the other time of Hagira. Plus he says, who said that the purpose of eating is only to help you fast better? Maybe there's an independent mitzvah. So that's Nafkamina number 2. But if you're not going to fast, then you still have to eat. You with me? Brachos number 1. Not going to fast, you still have to eat number 2. You with me? Mainly it's in the Nesiv, and also in the Ksav Sofer. And I mentioned the Sechemet outside, but it's not on the sheet. Yeshiva Kais, you with me? I'm sorry, I don't know your name. Yeah, okay. What's your name? Sammy, okay. You with me? From Chicago? Okay. Sorry about Lupinella. Okay, anyway. Huh? That's what I want to hear. It was just a test. If you knew about that, I would have had to speak to relaxing immediately. Okay. Number 3, the opposite, just the opposite. What if you say, I am so strong, I am so tough, I can even go 2 days. I don't need to eat on the 9th. Right, or exactly, or you're in the mirror and you're in Shanghai or something, right? Or the Shiloh, what to do then with the dateline and stuff, two Yom Kippers. But let's say you're a Tanakher. You say, I don't need to fast, I can fast, I don't need to eat. So do you say, well, sometimes you're an idiot, but leave that aside. Do you say, halachically, you're an idiot? Because it's a mitzvah to eat. So, well, who cares if you don't need to eat? It's a mitzvah to eat, so you should eat. Right? I don't need to eat Shal Shuluch most weeks, but I do anyway, because it's a mitzvah. Or you say, no, if you don't need to eat, then you don't need to eat. Who needs to bother you? So in fact, of course, you can understand this is just the flip side of the exact same question and the same chakira. Who discusses this? Take a look at the Havik Shev and the Siv. Third line says in the Siv, Mi shedaito borer sheyocha yuchal his anos atu lo ochav erev Yom Kippur ain't love mikvah says in the Siv ein chanami. Just like I paskind that you're not gonna fast on Yom Kippur, there's no mitzvah on erev Yom Kippur. Who would do the opposite? If you can fast without eating, then there's no mitzvah. Now you could say that technically speaking, you have to eat because you're an idiot. And we don't want you to take a chance because just because you think you're so tough doesn't mean you're so tough.
Well,
and
no,
who said you have to eat one? I don't know. Then the Siv doesn't discuss it. So maybe he would, I don't know if he would say you have to eat anything. I don't know if he would say you have to eat anything. And if anything, maybe just that. Maybe. But the idea of Kalocha B'chini, this doesn't apply. According to the Siv, and the Siv is consistent, and all three of his Nafkamina, there's no confusion, this is consistent. The whole purpose of eating is just a hachana to make sure you have an easier fast. But if you don't need it, you don't need it. So, yeah.
Make it harder for
you. Oh, so he obviously doesn't hold to that. Now, economics, it's a very good point. If you held that the purpose of eating was to make it harder, then Adarabha, if you're going to fast, you better eat, because then you're making it easy on yourself. That's a very good point. Thank you for that, Adarabha. But again, obviously, though, if you had a complete different approach, you were a Rabbeinu Yonah man, and you felt that the whole purpose of eating was because of the simcha that you have of kapara, or because of the simcha of yontif that gets pushed up to Erev Yom Kippur, then who cares if you're a tough guy? You're still in the city to celebrate Hashem's kapara. Okay, 2 more minutes, and then we'll be done. Quickly, the last 2 nafkaminas. A very famous discussion of this topic is the tshuva of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. The Eiger here in Siman Tes Zayin discusses whether women are included in the mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur. So what's his suffix? Says Rabbi Akiva Eiger. On the one hand, Efshar Hain Peturos from becomes the Shema Grama. It's a mitzvah to eat, but it's a Shema Grama, so they should be possible. On the other hand, he says, maybe not. If the whole purpose of eating is to help the fast, then the Mela calls from Mechayev the Tainis of Siri, Mechayev the Tainis of Nisim Lech of the Chi. Again, says it, Rav Kineger says it's totally Hapa Hatalia. If the purpose is to help with the fast, so women are Mechayev to fast, so then of course they should eat, so they can fast well. But he leaves open for the possibility, maybe if it was just an independent mitzvah, if we weren't looking at it as a hachan, as a preparation for the fast day, then maybe if it's an independent mitzvah, then we have to judge it independently, and maybe independently they should be pituros. Before I take your question, let's see the Ksav Sofer. Ksav Sofer discusses this also, and he says, he quotes Rashi, and he says, Kevin Benishim Hasi, who will vadaim is faber than Nashim Chayavos. No question, for sure. Why? Because it's like Rashi, it's a hachava. But the implication of the Ksav Sofer, which is explicit in Rabbi Akiva Eger, is that if you hold the purpose of eating is not for a hachana, it's an independent din, and as an independent din, maybe they should be part of the business of my grandma. Yes. Yeah. So you ask me why women are not, why women chayav in Yom Kippur? Right, so why women are chayav? That's its own question, but don't worry, no one should get misunderstood. They're chayav. Why we have to have a different, we have to have a different share. But they are chayav, for sure. Yeah. So you're saying very good. I don't, it's not necessarily theoretical, but what you could say, this is what I would agree with you, very good aura, is that even if you held an independent din, doesn't mean you have to agree with Kivayev's analysis. Kivayev holds that they should be putter, but maybe you should say no, they should be happy with Kapara. Maybe that overrides Zman Grama. I don't know. But it would be Alecha Lahaviraya, not just because he's Rabbi Kivager, not just because of that, but because what he's saying is very compelling. That is, even if there's a great reason to have the mitzvah on Yom Kippur, but if it's Zman Grama, there's a great reason to put on tefillin too, but they're putter, it's Zman Grama. So it would be on you, but you at least would be opening. I want to end Mamish in 2 seconds, just to tell you on the last sources, it's the Mata Ephraim. I quoted that before. It's a very one of the previous shurim, very famous sefer of halacha on Chodesh Tishrei. And the next two sources are commentaries that were written on the Mata Ephraim. And the commentaries on the Mata Ephraim of Machlokas, number 5, is there a chiyuv to eat bread for this mitzvah, or can you fulfill the mitzvah by eating a candy, or who knows what throughout the day? The Kaseh HaMateh holds that anything, doesn't matter if it's bread, not bread, anything is kiyum of the mitzvah, but the Elif HaMagin is a big chumrah, Yishla HaChmer Lechol Pastach, to get them a suga. Now why should you have to have a suga? That's a tremendous chiddush. Yes, and maybe Kun Rabbi Yonah makes sense of Kun Rabbi Yonah. Kun Rabbi Yonah, it's Sukkot Yom Kippur, Surah Kapara. So maybe if it's a real independent din, maybe, again, you could quibble, but maybe if it's a real independent din, then it's going to have all the pageantry of an independent mitzvah achila, including a suda with pops, with bread. But if you hold the whole purpose is to help you eat, help you fast, so maybe you're drinking Gatorade all day, or you're drinking orange juice, or you're sucking a candy, or whatever, each one of those things helps you fast and keeps you hydrated. Right? To me, the most important thing on Erev Yom Kippur is drinking water, not even the food, especially in a hot climate like this. So, is there a kiyum in that? Well, the whole purpose is to help me fast, but then all the water I drink is a mitzvah. That's exactly what the Kseh HaMata says. But if you hold that there is a suda, there's a chiyum to celebrate, it's an independent mitzvah, then maybe, not necessarily, but maybe, we could understand the Elif L'Magen's Chumrah. Okay, I promise I'd get you guys into the thing, so I'm officially done. So those of you who don't go, at least I'm helping my book.
Yeah. Looking to you. Is that the official one?